Welcome back to the Tip of Tower Toronto Maple Leafs podcast, everyone. We are live in studio again. Joining me is Omar, Austin, Dave, and via satellite from lovely New Jersey, the star of the show, Jacob Middleton. Guys, what's going on tonight? We're going to talk about Ilya Kovalchuk, lots of expansion draft talk, so we'll get right into that. Jake, you okay there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You look distraught tonight. Oh, there's a smile.
I'm not distraught. It's just a really, it's just a really bad day outside. It's raining and it's overcast been all day. Haven't seen the sunlight in a couple days. So
sad violin in the background.
Poor kid. Jeez.
Okay, well, we're gonna start with somebody that really comes out from your neck of the woods out there in New Jersey. Ilya Kovalchuk. There's a lot of reports that he was gonna stay in the KHL last week, and then on Saturday night, Elliot Friedman came out and said that, you know, that's not the case. He actually wants to come back to the NHL. So, of course, he said the most important things, the magic words, Kovalchuk and Toronto. And, well, you know how it goes from there, guys. So,
yep.
What are your thoughts on Kovalchuk returning to the NHL, first of all?
Who wants to tackle that?
Jake, Who wants to start with that? You seem to be pretty prominent. You're one of his biggest defenders on Twitter. I've seen you this week. So, what are your thoughts on Kovalchuk possibly returning to the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big advocate for him. I mean, I think based on talent alone, he's a player in the league, in the world, sorry. And, I mean, I don't know why people get so upset about it. In essence, help the Devils get out of what would have been horrible cap recapture penalties. And people don't really know the whole story as to why he left. So, you know, whether it be for personal reasons or among other things, I mean, I assume it's hard for a guy to move over 3,000 miles and live in a country he's never lived in. Going back, you know, obviously, I don't think it's that big a deal. Some people hold a grudge and they just hold grudges over petty things, but, like, they forget how it was before he left. I mean, he took them, obviously, with Parisi to a cup final with the Devils. He's got probably the best shot I've ever seen in the NHL from that I've seen live. I'm including guys like Ovechkin and Steven Stamkos. He's just that talented, and I think he could score 25 goals in his sleep.
Okay, well, for Kovalchuk, all that being said, what's really important to keep in mind here with him is that in order for him to return to the NHL, he has to be approved by all the owners, and then he has to go back to New Jersey first, and if he's going to go to another team, they have to trade him. So there's a whole bunch of steps that have to go through. It's a very complicated process for him. But let's say he goes through all those steps and the Leafs are still interested. I know a lot of that was debunked this week, guys, when people were saying, you know, the Leafs are not interested at all, but let's just hypothetically say they are. What would you offer him for a contract?
Honestly, considering the fact that for at least for the next 2 years, cap isn't really any problem, especially because, you know, Matthews and Marner aren't up for another 2 years, you can give him like a 2 year, $6.5 million contract, and after then see where that can get you. I feel that a lot of the outrage on Twitter, a lot of people are saying, like, you know, like, oh, I don't want to give him, you know, a long-term contract. But, like, that's not going to be the case, especially because of his age. And we're dealing with a lot more smart management than we had before. I think the Leafs are going to acknowledge the fact that, although he is an elite skilled player, he is, like, 34, turning 35. So you can give him his money, but give it to him as a short term, and then let him play on that top line with Matthews and Nylander. Just imagine that. Matthews, Nylander, and Kovalchuk for a first line. Like that would be like completely disgusting. So if there's any way that can be done, then I say go for it.
Well, you bring up two interesting points there. The first would be management. You mentioned the management group, and obviously Lou Lamoriello was the guy that handed, you know, that lovely 17-year, $107 million contract to Kovalchuk. So maybe there's a connection there. I feel like that's where a lot of the Leafs Kovalchuk stuff is coming from. Austin, do you buy that at all? The Lamoriello Kobe connection?
I can see it. I'm sort of on the same wavelength as Omar. Where it's, you give him sort of similar to what Montreal gave Radulov last year, where you give him a 1 or 2 year deal at six something and see how it plays out. But I mean, I don't think Lou's scared of making that deal. I think if he has a chance to bring in another scorer, you see that the Leafs aren't in rebuild mode in a way as they were perceived to be at the beginning of the year. So I think you bring Kovalchuk back and, like Omar said, have him on a line with one of these young studs. It'd be unbelievable. I don't think the management's really scared to have him back or anything like that.
Dave, what would you give up if you're the Leafs to get a Kovalchuk? Because he's not just going to come for free, right? You got to give something up to get this guy. So what would you be willing to give up?
So give him to New Jersey?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the Leafs have the picks. They have the prospects. I mean, you. The tough part with New Jersey is what's their leverage going to be in this situation? Because if he doesn't want to go to New Jersey, or if New Jersey doesn't feel like the fit is there because they're a rebuilding team, the Leafs can try to swindle a better deal out of it. But the other thing is also there's other teams involved. Other teams are going to probably want to overpay. It all comes down to whether he wants to go to the Leafs. I think he would have a little more say in that matter. If I'm giving up assets, it's really tough because what does New Jersey need? I think they need help up front. They need scoring up front.
They need everything. They need everything.
Well, need everything. Everything but goaltending. They have
Corey Schneider.
They still need that. I mean, I would want to get – I mean, he's almost 30, right? So.
Yeah, that's 31. True. Well,
they'll probably move him soon, to be honest.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Leafs, outside of Joseph Woll, are not don't have the prospect depth at goalie to give up anything. So if you're looking at it, it's going to be a defensive prospect. If you're looking at defensive prospects on the Leafs, it's either Dermott or Nielsen. That's a given. And then you think up front, Bracco. If we're looking at forward prospects, I mean we've all raved about Bracco. Brooks, I don't think New Jersey would see him as that type of prospect they would want for a Kovalchuk. Maybe Kapanen is a guy. Like it's gonna cost.
I think you're looking at picks.
Yeah, I was going to say picks too, future firsts.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the Devils will have to also look at where the Leafs going to be. Those picks are probably going to be in the mid rounds, you know. So they're, but at the same time, you want to get something for an asset. You're not going to cry wolf if you don't get the best return. It's almost like the Phil Kessel situation, where you're trying to get rid of a guy who doesn't really fit what your team is going through. So you're just trying to get something rather than getting nothing.
Well, never mind not fitting what they're doing. He might not even want to be there, right? Like, exactly. I think he's made that pretty much clear that, you know, I'll go back to New Jersey if I have to, but some teams that Freeman has linked him to has been San Jose, DeBoer's there, St. Louis, because Brodeur, and some say Tarasenko, they may be friends. Us, the Leafs, and then the Rangers. The Rangers was a big one that a lot of people were saying, but obviously they have a lot of cap issues.
The
and
Rangers are what I mean, not
think the, I think the Florida Panthers, too. The Florida Panthers are another team.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Well, something else with Kovalchuk that comes up all the time when he's mentioned to a team is their fan base right away goes, this guy's a cancer. I don't want him on my team. You know, he's just – look at everything he does. He comes, he goes. Is he staying? What's he doing? You know, Jake, I know you watch this guy law in New Jersey. I know you advocate for a lot of him on, you advocate a lot for him on Twitter. Is he a cancer? Is he somebody that you can't work with on a team? Or is that all bullshit?
It's all bullshit.
Why?
I don't know. For me, it's many reasons. You know, I think, you know, it's people that just have this idea that all Russians are cancers. I think personally that's been spewed by, you know, Canadians and Americans, guys like Mike Milbury, Don Cherry, but... Well, you know,
say,
I just
say that one more time, Jake, because you were cut out there.
I need proof of what he's done. What? And I've seen no proof from anyone in New Jersey. When he came to New Jersey, first of all, in Atlanta, he got a terrible shake, right? He went to arguably the worst expansion team ever outside of the Washington Capitals when they first started. He, as Ray Ferraro was saying on the radio, he was basically tasked with solving every problem by himself. And he wasn't helped out by management. And the only time he was given help around him was when he was traded to New Jersey and he went to the Stanley Cup Final, where they weren't weren't as talented as the Rangers, who were the one seed at the time. Mm-hmm. They went up against an amazing Kings team and took them to six games. But he was really good that playoff run. He was offensively dynamic. He was also injured. He had I believe he hurt his hip earlier in the playoffs. And he was playing a two-way game under Peter DeBoer, and you know his game had really evolved. It was kind of, for me, it was kind of upsetting that he had chosen to move back, but obviously he had his reasons. You know, guys like people say, oh, it's only because of the money. I mean, yeah, obviously he got a lot of money, but there's probably multiple reasons. I heard, you know, he wanted to go back with his kids and have them grow up in Russia, among other things, but. The only place he's been has failed him. So,
but to continue off of that too, a lot of people when Montreal signed Radulov, a lot of people were going off saying like, oh, like he's so bad. Like, look what happened in Nashville. You know, he had problems with Shea Weber, and you know, And then looking at what happened at the end of the season, like, he was a fan favorite and probably one of the best players in that playoff run or that first round outing. So I think looking at the past and saying that a certain player is a cancer is kind of irrelevant, you know what I mean? Like, especially if his goal to come back to the NHL is to win a cup, then he's not going to, like, screw around and have any funny business. It's just going to be, you know, to join a team, you know, help them succeed, and then get to the Stanley Cup final. If he's just going for the money, then okay, yeah, sure, then probably just go to Vegas. But I don't think him being a cancer or anything is anything relevant to him signing with the Leafs or any other team for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. I mean, the Shea Weber and Radulov, that's a perfect example because people have said that they fought in the locker room, like literally fought. And then they reunited in Montreal, and it's worked pretty well so far. So I think that's a fair thing to say. Each of you guys, we'll do like a little Jerry's percentages here, you know, since we all are big fans of Overdrive. What are the chances of Kovalchuk, one, coming back to the NHL, and then the second one will be coming with the Leafs trading for him?
So is this two separate percentages?
We'll do two. So the first one is for him returning to the NHL. The second one is for him joining the Leafs.
Okay. Can we call it Lou percentages?
Dave, you want
to
go first?
Okay. Percentage of him coming back to the NHL, I give that a solid 90%.
I should have went first.
There's only probably a little part of me that maybe thinks that either the NHL is just going to make it really difficult for him or something comes up in Russia. That's the only reason why I'm not fully committed to it. And then to the Leafs, Omar's probably not going to like this number. I'm giving it a 40% chance.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going way lower.
Yeah. Wow.
You're going way lower.
I'm really surprised, yeah.
I'm going 40 just because of the Lou factor.
Wow, okay.
Look, and the Leafs will want to keep I was talking with a buddy of mine, actually, and he sent me this really good Excel sheet. I have to send it to you guys, where he looked at teams and, like, their top six scoring, bottom six scoring, and their defensive scoring. The Leafs were, like, the best team when it comes to top six offense, or second behind Washington, and, like, all these stat categories. If the Leafs want to continue being the team they are, just based on what I saw there, they're going to have to try to keep that top six scoring up, mm-hmm. And Kovalchuk is that type of guy you want. I mean, looking at guys on the UFA market, a better guy, there's not really a guy who may be better than Kovalchuk at UFA.
No.
I mean, T.J. Oshie is decent, but he's not the offensive talent that Kovalchuk is.
Not many are. I mean, this guy's an offensive dynamo.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, for that reason, I think if there's a real possibility that the Leafs can get him, you're trying to get him. And then they have the cap space. And then if they need to make a trade, I mean, JVR is the guy that every team is calling for. You could easily move. I think you can move him pretty easily. And I mean, it would take away from your top six, but then another guy would then have to step up. I mean, Kapanen will likely take that role. And I think he's good for a decent offensive season with the Leafs. So that's where I think that goes. And I mean, Marner's going to be better too, I think, going into next season. So that's where I see it. You'd rather have a cheaper JVR maybe, but Kovalchuk is just too hard to pass up.
Mm. Austin, are you at a what do you have for him returning to the NHL? But I don't know if you're at 40%.
I'd say 85 to 90. I'm around the same as Dave. I think that's I don't want to say 100, but I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion.
That might have been some pity on me just to make me feel better.
I think he wants to be back here. He won the Gagarin Cup, so he's done what he wanted to do in Russia.
Yeah.
He wanted to go back and win in Russia, so he's done that. Coming back to the NHL or coming back to the Leafs. Coming to the Leafs, excuse me. I'd say 25-30%, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd put it up there because, again, the Lou factor, like Dave explained. I think the Leafs are a good option for him because the other teams that Friedman mentioned are really close to the cap.
Yep.
And if Kovalchuk wants that Radulov money, that's 6 to 6.5 range, whatever. I don't remember what he was paid last season, around 6.25, I think.
Kovalchuk was a little less. I think he was just...
No, Radulov.
Radulov was, I think, below 6. He was like...
It was like 5.75.
Yeah. Yeah, like in that 5.5.
I think Kovalchuk would want more.
And he deserves more.
Yeah,
those teams would have to make drastic changes or move some guys in order to free up the cap to have Kovalchuk. Yeah. So I think it's more likely he goes to the Leafs, but you never know. Those teams have a lot of haul. They have a lot of.
They can easily move some guys who have high cap hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the guys who have high cap hits on those teams are decent players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as you talked about in free agency, the Leafs. They're not going to – I think I saw one article saying if team can't land Kovalchuk, you go after Patrick Sharp.
No.
36-year-old Patrick Sharp, yeah, who didn't play last season.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Omar?
The next best option.
Jake Chris is just like, we got to get out of this. Like, yeah. We're not going down that road.
So if it's between Patrick Sharp and trading for Ilya Kovalchuk, I think that's a pretty big.
That's a no-brainer.
No-brainer, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the same level as the rest of you guys. I think for me, I'm a little more confident that he comes back to the NHL. I'll say 100% on that one. I think to Austin's point, he's won in Russia. You know what I mean? And, you know, like, why not, like, come to the NHL and win over here too, right? Just you want to establish like, or even make better your already spectacular career. And then in terms of the Leafs, yeah, I'm low. I'll say 25%. Not because, like, we've all given pretty good reasons as why Toronto would be the best fit. Like, we can pay him, we can give him the opportunity, and that we're a team that's trending upwards. I guess in terms of him and whether he wants to come here is one thing. And also, also Dave, to your point, what Jersey would want in a trade, because those are going to be two factors coming in. So I think I'll say 25%. So at 25% for him coming to the Leafs.
Yeah, I don't see Ray Shero getting ripped off, but Jake, percentages he returns to the NHL, and then percentages that the Leafs acquire him.
95% that he comes back. I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. For the Leafs, I'm going to say 10%.
That's what I have.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The thing I was going to say 0%, but then, you know, when I was listening to the radio, and it made me think, you know, Brian Hayes was talking about this on Overdrive. He's saying, you know, this team clearly knows that they can go out and get talent right now. Obviously they did that by meeting with Steven Stamkos. I mean, for all the people that say, oh, you don't need offense, I mean, look at the Golden State Warriors. They could have gone out and been like, let's get an extra defender. No, they went out and they got, who'd they get? One of the best players in the league. Because what you do is you always are trying to add talent. I've never understood people that will say no to talent just because you're thinking 2 or 3 years down the road. So that's what I would do. And it made me think, you know, maybe there is a chance. And also, just because we never know what they're doing ever. I can't think of one move that they've done where I was thinking, wow, that is so obvious. I knew that was coming.
Austin,
every deal they've made, I didn't know the Anderson deal. I guess the only one that this regime has done that made sense to me was trading Phil. And that was just blatantly obvious and had to happen.
And that, wasn't even Lou.
Like the Kessel trade wasn't. You're right. It was Shanahan.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, what Shanahan's plan is, kind of be on the down low and then just come out of nowhere.
Kovalchuk could be flying to Toronto as we speak.
Wouldn't that be something, eh?
Imagine.
Is Jeff Lloyd tracking the plane again?
Yeah, he can't go anywhere until July 1.
If I had to rank in terms of places that make the most sense, for me it would be Florida. Obviously, it's an awesome place to live. I mean, who wouldn't want to go out and live in Miami?
Tax-free money.
Two is tax. There's no state income tax there, so that saves you a lot of money on a place like Anaheim or even New York, where taxes are absurd in comparison. It's probably like 12% higher. And the third is, you know, they just have the money to fit it. You know, they have young players on entry-level deals that – and they can afford it, and they also got to make a splash in that market. Number two would be the Rangers. You know, I have a hard time believing the Devils would give up him for less than market value. I think if the Leafs are giving up a second, the Rangers are going to have to give up either a pick and a prospect or a higher pick, because based on the rivalry and having seen him go across the Hudson River and potentially snipe you for the next 2 years would be pretty rough to see. But they're always a team that has the flair for the dramatic. I mean, their president, what's his name again? The ex-Oilers guy. I keep his name.
Glenn Sather?
Yeah, Glenn Sather always has the flair for the dramatic, always goes out and he finds a way to get the big fish. And then for me, it would be the Leafs. I mean, I don't buy St. Louis. Doesn't make sense to me. And San Jose actually does make a lot of sense.
They're
but I don't know where they're going with regards to Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau and all those older core guys. So that's not really something for me. But and also the tax rates are absurd over in California. I think they're the highest in the U.S. So but Toronto definitely makes sense for me because of the talent he'd be able to play with, and also potentially to get him a new contract if it's a 1-year deal.
I'd agree with all that. I mean, for me, I'll put it at like a 80-85% chance he returns to the NHL. St. Petersburg's president, Medvedev, is pretty confident he's going to re-sign in with them, but I think he's just posturing, just trying to do whatever he can to get him.
He's trying to get the hope alive.
Yeah, I mean, he has to, right? That's their big ticket draw in the KHL for a league that is apparently financially dying, so he has to say that kind of stuff, right? As for Toronto, I'm going to say like 10-15% max. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but all of you guys have cited the same thing when it comes to he left here for his kids, apparently, wife, family, you know, all that stuff. So I think they're going to have a big say in where they go because he's 34, you know. He's definitely going to try and go somewhere where he can get a cup. That would make sense. But he's going to want to get paid too, and it's got to be somewhere where his kids can actually, like, plant roots. I know it sounds really corny, but these guys are human beings at the end of the day, and these things matter. So I don't know. I mean, the Lemieux connection's there. Toronto's a really good spot in terms of everything Jake was just saying about they're going to compete for a cup. They got the space to pay him. So I just don't know if they're willing to part ways with what it would take to acquire him.
Look, as long as it's not Pittsburgh or Chicago that gets him, I
won't
think
that be something?
If freaking imagine if it's Chicago,
wouldn't that be something?
That would like honestly like
I would probably be more upset. I would probably think more of Pittsburgh because like
yeah, they can make it work. But I mean, Chicago, if they get like let's just say Hossa magically retires,
hacks.
Yeah,
hacks. Like,
that won't happen. But they could trade Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Kruger, and then they could possibly move Seabrook.
Or they just convince them to take less money.
Yeah, good luck with
it's
that.
It's not going to happen.
Not with Jake Grossman.
It's called optimism.
Yeah, no chance.
No,
those are – Pittsburgh and Chicago are probably 31-30 on places that I'd predict him to go.
Yeah, me too. Just for so many – in a hard cap league, it's so difficult for them. Okay, so now we got the Kovalchuk talk out of the way. Before we get into the expansion talk, the buyout window is coming up, and it takes place either 2 days after the Stanley Cup final is over or on June 15th. So it's whichever one comes first. I'll give you guys a quick rundown of how the buyout window works, just for those that don't know. So if a team wants to buy out a player, they must first place that player on unconditional waivers, and it can be claimed by any team. If the player has a no movement clause, he can refuse the waivers, and his buyout takes place immediately. He cannot avoid a buyout by any clause in his contract. Once the player clears waivers after 24 hours and is bought out, he becomes a UFA. An injured player cannot be bought out without his or without his consent. I was going to say his or her, but that doesn't happen here. without his consent. With all that in mind, do you guys see the Leafs buying anyone out?
No.
Because that's saving us. Well, not, I don't want to say saving us, but it's definitely helping, you know. Like Lupul and Horton being on LTIR, that's opening up a lot of space for us. Where, you know, going back to Kovalchuk, if you didn't want to sign like Kovalchuk or someone, or maybe even help out a team and then take on a bad contract for an additional asset, I feel like having Lupul and Horton actually helps us. And like you brought up on last podcast, unfortunately Robida's off the bill now. So moment of silence. But yeah,
Toronto's actually in a really good situation. It's weird saying this.
For
it's actually really weird.
Usually, like, Tim Gleason.
They're probably one of the best cap situations outside of teams like Arizona, Carolina, and Vegas, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Arizona literally has no one playing for them next season.
Vegas has four. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, off top of your guys' heads, is there any big buyout candidates out there that come to mind right away? Anybody?
I just think who... Do the Rangers buy out one?
Dan Girardi.
One of those two defensemen.
Mark Stahl, maybe?
Yeah, those are the two most popular buyouts.
I think they go
buyouts
for Girardi first.
Girardi can't skate. He can't skate.
I don't know if it's that big, but maybe Kevin Bieksa. They have to protect him, and if they want to protect one of their big guys, they're going to have to get rid of him somehow.
That could be a logical move. Especially because he has a no-trade clause.
He has a
no-movement
clause.
So they have to protect
him.
They need to keep him.
So, I mean, as you just said, Chris, they don't even need to get his permission to buy him out. So it's you're not going to make this trade any easy on us, we're just going to buy you out.
Well, if somebody, even if somebody's trying to lowball them for, say, Vatanen or Manson, I mean...
Pay up Bieksa.
Yeah, pay up Bieksa. You get to keep your four guys if you... Really
I think
to.
They're doing four.
They would have to do four. They do what Vatanen, Lindholm,
Fowler,
and Manson.
So,
before we started the podcast, we were looking at the list of the most popular buyout names on Cap Friendly.
I was too.
Omar was. You brought up a good name here, Omar. Read the top five. And there's something that doesn't belong in this group, but it's hilarious.
I'll play a little game of one of these things does not look like the other. Okay, so it's Dan Girardi, Mark Stahl, Dustin Brown, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Shea Weber.
Oh.
1 year in, and they're
1 year in, and they're already trying to get out of that contract.
Scorched earth in Montreal.
But he's an upgrade in the present.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently. Yeah,
not a distraction at all.
I guarantee Montreal is like, who the hell signed to this contract in the first place? Friggin' Philadelphia.
Well, doesn't it have like doesn't it have like 7 years left?
It pays him until he's in his 40s.
Hold on.
Yeah, so that so if they bought him out, that'd be the next 14 years would be on his cap.
That's eight more years. Oh. He signed until 2025, 2026.
Oh, God
bless
Philly.
Holy shit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll be 32.
Mark Bergevin, everyone.
Yeah, right? That's a good deal.
Honestly.
Little side anecdote with him, though. Yeah. Is he not on suicide watch right now? Because the year he leaves the Preds, they go to the Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly.
Oh, man.
Like, that's not a coincidence.
It was all his old according to plan.
Watch him in game 7 of the San Jose Sharks. I've never seen a worse defensive performance from a star defenseman in my life. I think it was a -6.
Yeah. Oof. That's why
he was
like
on for every single goal.
Yeah, that's why like when everyone was talking about like, oh, like you know, like do you really think that Montreal traded PK Subban without letting Price know that he's gonna get a number one defenseman back? It's like, okay, yeah, but like it's not like we're getting Shea Weber you're getting Shea Weber from 5 or 6 years ago.
Declining.
Like you're
Shea
getting
Weber.
A declining Shea Weber, whereas PK Subban is on the rise in a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to cut you off. You're not getting the Shea Weber of the broken net in Vancouver.
I was about to say the same thing.
You're getting Shea Weber who has a 14-year offer sheet deal that Nashville Rick had to sign, otherwise they would have been screwed.
And now Montreal's going to shine Martin Hansel, and then Bergevin's going to get fired.
I can't wait to
prediction.
See that, actually.
I'm calling that right now.
Which, we can't do it because Therrien's not there anymore. I was going to say, which center do they sign and then put on the wing?
Oh, man.
They'll just keep moving Galchenyuk back and forth.
Fourth line right winger, Alex Galchenyuk. Attaboy, Michelle.
Right? All right, guys, we're going to the expansion draft here. We're obviously going to look at it from a Leafs perspective, but we're going to go over our teams that we drafted from Cap Friendly, you know, using that great tool they have. We'll do that after the Leafs perspective, though. But before we get into all of that, I'll go over some of the expansion draft rules because what's even more complicated than Kovalchuk's situation is the expansion draft. So a couple things that you probably need to know about it in terms of dates is all teams must submit their protection list to the league on June 17th. Once Vegas receives this list, they can begin to interview UFAs and RFAs, and the window lasts until the actual expansion draft. The catch with these UFAs and RFAs is if Vegas does sign one of these players, it will count as their expansion draft selection from those teams. So if they were to sign, I don't know, let's just, who'd be like a name we could show?
Shea Weber.
Boyle.
Yeah, Boyle. Let's just sign Boyle. That will count as their pick from Toronto. So after that, on June 18th, each team's protection list will be made public at 10 a.m., and Vegas has until June 21st to sign free agents who are not protected. Vegas has to have their picks finalized on June 20th, and the NHL will reveal Vegas' selections on June 21st. With all that out of the way, guys, let's get into the Leafs. Who are they? Let's actually, you know, first, who are the Leafs going to protect? Let's just start there.
Okay, so they're obviously going to go the 7-3, mode or model, if you want to call it that. So it'll probably be JVR, Bozak, Kadri, Connor Brown. Who am I forgetting? There's like
Connor Brown,
Ryan O'Reilly, Gardner, Connor Carrick.
Did you say Komarov?
Frederick
already?
Anderson.
Yeah, Komarov.
And Komarov,
And
then Komarov. So that would probably be, so that leaves them with one more spot to protect
Matt Martin.
Yeah,
you guys laugh, man. That's a hot debate, though.
Oh.
I know
they shouldn't, but it looks like that's what they're going to do.
I'd rather protect Leva.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Because Martin's contract is protection enough. Like, you know, I hate to crap on the guy, but like,
well, no, it's true.
Who's gonna take Matt Martin for $2.5 million for the next 3 years?
Nobody.
His agent was really smart there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's not his fault at all. You take the money, but you shouldn't protect Matt Martin because he had 123 penalty minutes last year, 9 points, and he has, what, a three-mil deal?
But how many hits?
Two.
How many
still
hits,
not
though?
Ideal. For a fourth-line guy.
Yeah.
He's not getting taken. Eric Fair has a better chance of getting taken.
But do you hurt his feelings if you don't protect him? That's a lot of the things being thrown around there. I know it sounds funny to say, but that's been a lot of the reasoning people have been using.
If Matt Martin actually hears somebody say that about hurting his feelings.
I know, he would laugh at them.
He would punch them in the face.
Yeah, I could
He'd
buy
knock
it. But seriously, that's been a thing thrown around a lot.
I gave those guys the best year of my life. Yeah. I mentored all those kids, and they didn't have the fucking decency to protect me.
I adopted Mitch Marner, goddammit.
I went scuba diving with him.
I know it sounds funny to say, but people have cited that.
I guess I can see that. But the sad thing is though, by choosing to protect Matt Martin, that leaves another young player up for grabs.
Yep.
Which sucks.
Yep.
Yep.
So instead of like what Jake said, instead of protecting Levo, he's probably looking to be an option. Yeah. So I guess it'd be a nice little segue. So did a poll for the podcast. So if it had to be a young player, who would you be okay with losing the expansion? Levo, Leipzig, or Reichel? 50% of people said Kirby Reichel. They'd be okay with losing.
Really?
That's pretty obvious. I mean, he's not a great skater, not a great shooter. He's he doesn't bring that much to the table, and I don't know. He didn't even play with the Leafs. I mean, at least we saw Levo, and for some reason he didn't play, but he had a picture. What am I saying? He had a cup of tea with the team, and he had like a point per game. I have no idea why he wasn't inserted in the lineup. Did he actually have an injury, or was that just a joke?
No.
Yeah. Apparently he had an injury, but I mean, the Leafs injury.
Robert has been injured.
Like, credibility
like
with
years.
The Leafs in terms of who's actually injured has been. It's questionable now.
Yeah.
Out of the guys, though, I mean, like, we've thrown around some names that could possibly be surprising. Komarov, Martin, Levo. Are those basically the surprise names? Or is there anybody else that stands out that they could potentially expose that might surprise you? I mean, I don't think so, but is there anybody else, maybe?
I mean, you don't protect the obvious UFAs.
Yeah.
That's a pretty obvious statement I'm making there, but, like, you have guys like McCulloch, Brooks, like, they didn't even play this year, so they're gone. I mean.
Well, Light's going to Vegas anyway. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it'd honestly be a good idea for him, because after this season where he didn't play, I mean, Vegas will give you a chance right there.
Yeah, him and Jordan McPhee can reunite, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, the main conversation is between, are you going to protect Carrick? Marincin was even in the conversation he started throwing biscuits up the center of the ice in the playoffs.
Let's not go there.
I know you're looking at me, Omar. This was a real thing. People were saying this.
I hate that.
This isn't me making hot takes. People were saying, protect Marincin, get rid of Carrick. I saw it.
Well, realistically.
Who? Who? His parents?
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Marincin are nice people, Jake.
That's the only people that would make sense. Either that or they're idiots.
Jesus.
Okay, well, realistically,
fucking terrible.
We're going to get a good play now.
The Leafs are probably going to expose between Leipzig, Marincin, Reichel, Levo, Ben Smith. I guess we can add Garrett Sparks.
Marchenko's going
to
be
one of the boys has to be. So,
if you're Vegas, who do you guys select? Omar, who would you select if you're Vegas?
You know, even though, we didn't see him in the NHL or anything, I'd probably take Reichel, to be honest. Like, I think you can, you know, he's a former first-round pick. You know, he produced offensively in junior, and I think a lot of people like to look at first-round picks and kind of have that whole hidden potential type of thing where, you know, if they have the whole, like, new environment, maybe they can get something going. So that's what I would take. Ideally, I'd probably want to take Levo because he's been proven to produce at the NHL level any for all the stints he's gotten. But I think, I don't know, there's something – there's something about this whole situation where I don't feel that Levo is going to end up being exposed. I don't know. I don't know what it.
I don't think he is either.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be Reichel and Leipzig are going to be exposed, and I think Reichel might be the person to go.
Well, both you guys just said that you think Levo's. So who's getting exposed then? That kind of goes back because that leads back to like a surprise exposure.
Because
a lot of people believe Levo's going to be exposed.
As much as we don't want Matt Martin to get protected, there's a real possibility that it does happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which sucks, because, I mean, the way it's playing out on this little simulator we're playing around with, that's really nice. You get to keep the two guys you thought we were going to lose all season. Like, people have been debating, who would you rather lose, Levo or Leipzig? Because you thought you were going to lose one.
Yeah.
If Matt Martin does get protected, I'd still like to see Reichel get taken. But, I mean, if you're Vegas, you take either Levo or Leipzig. I would think whoever doesn't get protected, if that's the case.
If I'm Vegas, I'm taking Levo or Leipzig. I'd rather take a guy that can score at all levels.
That's in the event that Martin gets protected, though. If he doesn't, then you can protect both.
Yeah. Dave, who would you take in Vegas?
The only problem I have with Levo is he hasn't played a lot. So it's not like – and he hasn't played a lot the last few years. He hasn't played a lot of hockey, so getting that full rep – in the NHL will be tough. I don't see him being the producer he was this past season. So I think I can confidently say that. If I'm Vegas, I think I'm taking Leipzig. because he was really good in the AHL. I mean, in the AHL, I understand it's tough to always compare like what a guy can do in the AHL to what he can do in the NHL, but what he did in the AHL, like, I think behind Kapanen, he was the Marlies' best forward. He has talent. And, Jake, you said it. You go with the guys with the most talent. And I think if you're looking at those three between Leipzig, Levo, and Reichel, Leipzig has the most skill. Levo has probably got
the – He's the best goal scorer. He's got the best shot of the bunch. He can score 15 goals, I think.
He can. And then, I mean, Reichel is that bruiser type, and I don't know if that's what Vegas – will want.
Yeah, I don't know if they want that.
Is he, though? I don't know. He's the same size as Levo, pretty much, but I guess that's his game. But
he's supposed to be a power forward.
Reichel's got that mean streak to him. So I think
6'1", 205 isn't a power forward.
I'm just saying. That's what people taught him as. I know you can probably pin him the boards there, Jake. Don't worry.
But if you see him play, when I would see him play for the Marlies, he's that physical guy. He would take too many penalties, which is a problem. So I would go with Leipzig. Levo wouldn't be a bad choice either. I just think Leipzig plays the game, that fast, skill game that would probably fit Vegas a little bit better, especially with the guys that they're picking up, especially the Russian guys.
I could buy that. I mean, for me, if I'm Vegas, I'll probably take Leipzig. But I'm not so sold on Levo because here's why. If he was this good, he'd be playing. And Mike Babcock, you know, we can all criticize him for saying when he doesn't like somebody, he doesn't give a shit. That guy's not getting a lineup. But if he doesn't fit what Mike Babcock does or what he wants to do, this is going to be Corrado all over again. He's not going to play him. So, I mean, ideally they should probably trade him to Vegas for, like, a sixth. Just get something for him. Because Babcock is not going to play him. Is that fair to say, guys? I mean, if he was good enough, he'd be in there.
He would be. Yeah. Question.
Well, Matt Martin's playing.
What if they traded JVR?
I don't think it's happening.
I'm less convinced, unless a team comes up and says, we'll give you this defenseman for JVR, and the defenseman the Leafs want, he's not going anywhere.
But, like, would you be, like, okay, say, for example, in a hypothetical, JVR was traded. Would you be comfortable having Levo in that spot opening night?
No.
I wouldn't be either.
Then let him go.
He would be a guy that, if you're putting him into the NHL full-time, it's in a bottom six role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
to be that bottom
six. He'd be
six
a good bottom
scorer.
Six player, though.
He would be. Yeah. That's. But the thing with the Leafs, and we said it, they're bottom six. They're like a top nine than a bottom three, when it comes to the way their forwards run.
Yeah,
like they run three pretty decent lines, and then a fourth line that you just throw out.
Yeah, but I mean, even Brian Boyle put with the right people has a pretty good.
The one thing that I think would be really interesting about the Kovalchuk signing is, I think he would be a pretty good fit if James Van Riemsdyk was traded.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, and I said that if the Leafs could somehow get, but it'd have to be Kovalchuk first, then JVR.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if that was to happen, I don't even think Kovalchuk will play in the top line.
Why? Why would it have to be Kovalchuk first and then move JVR?
Well, because I don't think you'd want to move JVR if. I mean, what are you going to get for JVR?
You're hoping to get a D, right? You put him in a pick and get a D. Like, that's ideal.
I think you'd want the guarantee that you're going to have somebody
or
that can step in and play his role.
But I think, like, Babcock's very big on guys that can drive lines. You hear him say that. Jake, you pointed this out near the end of the season where you go, he wants a guy that can obviously create plays, a guy that can shoot, and a guy that can do the dirty, shitty work that other guys don't want to do, like a Hyman. So he could have all that if you have, like, a Kovalchuk and put him on that line, that second line. Next to Bozak, you know, he could really drive that line. I know it sounds cheesy to say, but
he would have. And you know what? The thing about that line is they don't really have a shooter.
No.
Marner's not going to develop a shot. Bozak is just a guy who can snap it if he has.
Well, I think Marner can develop a shot.
Yeah, I think he could too. He's not
well,
even, like,
not
he's
a heavy shot like
yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Like Kovalchuk though. I'm talking about like
accurate, probably.
It doesn't matter. Look at guys like Johnny Gaudreau. He scores 30 goals.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. He also makes defensemen look silly and just dances around them.
Can Mitch Marner not could do that?
Yeah, he does that. But I'm saying you want a pure shooter on Mitch. That line.
They're so rare. There are not many pure shooters in the entire league. There's probably 50 good ones.
Maybe. Like pure shooters. Here's my problem with Kirby Reichel. He lit it up all throughout his junior career. In the AHL, he's posted strong numbers. He's only 22 years old. Are we basically saying that he's like Rafi Torres, where Rafi Torres, people forget, absolutely lit the junior hockey on fire. Like, he was a bona fide goal scorer. Then he turned into a goon because he couldn't adjust to the NHL level, and now he's just one of the biggest pieces of shit in the NHL. Are we saying Kirby Reichel can't develop and we're going to give up on the guy at 22? Or,
well,
you
he's,
know?
He's not a Rafi Torres level type of – like that level yeah. yet. But there, I think there's an attitude thing there. I think his mindset, especially when he – like if you can't crack the Columbus Blue Jackets – when they weren't good,
like last year's Blue Jackets.
Whoa,
they're
whoa!
Loaded with talent, though, man. Like well, guys like Bjorkstrand are going to step in right away.
I mean, now, but I'm yeah. talking like he's 20.
Joey Anderson, guys like that are being yeah. exposed.
Well, hold on. I'm talking. I'm not talking about Columbus this year or last. I'm talking about he's 22, and he couldn't crack the team. Like
yeah,
he was
he's been
a top
on Columbus
pick
for a couple of years.
Yeah, he's been around, and
he's 22, and he was with Lake Erie last year. And we all saw what Lake Erie did last year. They won the whole thing.
Yeah,
but he wasn't even a prominent player
for
them
for a bit.
Yeah,
he was buried in that team. So
yeah,
so is he just not good enough?
Well, I don't know if he's not good enough. I just think that if we were to let him go, it kind of wouldn't have that usual sting that we have when the Leafs let go of like younger players. Yeah. Just because like how did we acquire him like for Scott Harrington?
Yeah,
right.
I think
so. And then you like you know like even if you were to lose him like you look at like at the Leafs organizational depth and like on the wing and then you kind of just like shake it off like we have so many other wingers that are coming up that'll probably be above and beyond Kirby Reichel. So even if we do lose him and he ends up you know turning into a player for Vegas you know let's just say BVP positive I don't think it'll be that much of a loss you know.
Okay. He just reminds me of like a lot of times in baseball I see the prospects especially pitchers it's like. He just needs to be in the right setting. He needs to go to the right pitching coach. And Kirby Reichel might be a guy who just needs the right, I guess, scenery or right place. But I don't know.
Other players don't make it for themselves, though.
Oh, yeah, that's totally true. So I don't know. There's something off there with him. Because he can't be as good as he was and just, what, fall off a cliff? I mean, do you buy that, Jake, that you can just fall off that quickly at 22?
Yeah.
This is a simple all right. one-liner.
On that note.
Yeah, well, I've seen it before. Guys can just fall off.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it in, like, other sports, too, never in hockey. I mean, can't say I've played that high in hockey, but, you know. On that note, let's move on to our expansion draft that we did, guys. We used Cap Friendly's nice, awesome tool there to generate a team. Instead of going through each of our teams, each of you guys can give me about, what, 5-6 players that stand out on each team, and then we'll address other areas that you maybe had a tough time picking from.
When you say stand out.
I know it's slim pickings, man. I know.
Define stand out.
Yeah, define well, Jake said his team's going to win the cup in 5 years, so there's got to be somebody good
there. I want to start with his
team.
Yeah,
can we start? Yeah, let's start with Jake's team first.
Okay, I mean, for me, there were a couple teams that stood out for actually having – there's probably 10 teams on here where if I could pass, I would. I wish there was an option where if you don't have a player that's worthy, you could take a draft pick. I think that would be incredible. But for me, you know, some of the teams that I noticed where I don't even want to pick, the New Jersey Devils, there's nothing there. The Buffalo Sabres, nothing. Arizona Coyotes, nothing. So outside of the terrible teams, the ones that actually have something that I would want, that stand out to me are the Ducks, the Anaheim Ducks, the Washington Capitals, the Winnipeg Jets surprisingly have some good players available. The Ottawa Senators have some players available, the Rangers, the Predators, the Wild, and who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing someone else. Chicago has some players that you can get to. But outside of that, and Tampa Bay, sorry, but some of the guys that I picked from the Ducks, I took, Jakob Silfverberg. I think, you know, he had an incredible playoffs. I think he's tied for second or third in goal scoring. He's put up a lot of points and I think he's a 40-point player for them. So that would be a really nice addition. Obviously I would prefer to take a guy like Josh Manson or Sammy Vatanen, but you know, based on what you guys said, you think that they're going to either buy out Kevin Bieksa or trade him for picks or something. So that's out of the question. Then, you know, when I moved to Chicago, obviously it looks like they're going to be taking Trevor Van Riemsdyk. That's the player I would take personally if I was in charge. So I have no problem with that. The Blue Jackets, somebody that I was looking at is Matt Calvert or William Karlsson or even a Josh Anderson. I'm looking at someone who's young and is cheap right now. Somebody that, you know, you can choose to give a contract to, and you're obviously buying really high on these players. You know, next you can go to Minnesota And the guys that stand out right away are Matt Dumba or Jonas Brodin or an Eric Halla, a Jason Zucker, as Omar said. But I ended up taking Jonas Brodin. Obviously, you don't know what they're going to do. So that's possible. If I had to change it and either Brodin or Dumba is traded, which is seemingly likely, then I would take Jason Zucker. I think he's a good player. I actually didn't know he had 49 points. I thought he had like 30 or something like that. But that's good enough for me if I'm Vegas. Then next I'm going to the Nashville Predators, and the other high end player that I took, it was either between Craig Smith or Colton Sissons, and I ended up taking Colton Sissons. For me, it was because, you know, he's not on a lot of money for the next couple of years until 2019. He's having a really good Stanley Cup playoffs, and I think he's a third line center down the road for a Vegas team. And he's got the offensive ability to become a better player. He's only 23 years old, so that's one of my guys. The next is the Washington Capitals. For me, it was between, you know, guys like Jay Beagle, Tom Wilson.
Jake wants to keep us here all night.
sorry.
Jake is determined by you.
I took Nate Schmidt. From Tampa, I took Vladimir Nemestikov. It's either between him or Tyler Johnson, but I think we're assuming Tyler Johnson gets traded. And then for Ottawa, I took it was between Ryan Dzingel or Zach Smith. I would prefer Ryan Dzingel, but they're probably going to protect him. So that's it for me, for the main players. Awesome. And the Rangers, I took Oscar Lindberg, who's a good player too.
Who'd you take off the Coyotes?
Who'd I take off the Coyotes?
Nobody.
That's who? I consider I don't know any of the players on this team that are even available. I would actually pass.
I choose to defer.
No.
There would be like five teams where I'd rather be like, your team is so bad that I don't want anything from it.
And we're talking about bad in terms of what they expose.
What they expose.
Yeah, because Arizona, what they have. Like, I can't believe
Well, what they have is pretty terrible, too.
Yeah.
It was pretty hard to find the ability to not expose some of these guys. Like, I think I protected Peter Holland, for Christ's sakes.
Okay. That's awesome. I have no comment for that, man. I have like nothing witty or funny to add. It's just,
I was the only one laughing there. It's really awkward.
It's a barren waste.
Sorry, Austin. Well, Peter Holland can do the one thing we sent him to Arizona for, so.
Hats?
All he had to do was.
Pretty good golfer.
Yeah. He's got a sick hat collection, too.
Yeah.
Austin, who do you have on your team? Not the full team, you know. I don't.
Well, first.
the first pick in the experience.
One of the difficult teams for me was. Obviously, the ones Jake talked about. One of the interesting teams was Nashville. Going into it, I didn't think I'd have an issue with it, but Victor Arvidsson coming on made that really difficult. He was their last guy I chose to protect. So I ended up taking Kelly Yarncroke with that pick. I think he'll be a good center. And he signed until 2023, so got a lot of term there. Another guy I took was Valeri Nichushkin from the Stars. Another team I didn't really see a lot there, so take a waiver on a Russian guy. You have Shipachov already.
Hopefully, you can lure him over.
Yeah, the Russian connection. He's got a year left on his contract in the KHL, so maybe something that comes in the future. But he's a good guy to have the rights to if he decides to come back.
Uber good, talented too. Yeah.
Yeah, good power forward. I mean, he could be a top six guy easily for a team if he comes back.
Weren't you trying to make an all Leafs team there?
I was. I actually have it. If you want me to go through my all Leafs team,
yeah, I think that quick. Let's see how far you got.
I'm finished it. I also, just quickly, I took Ryan Pulock off the Islanders. I protected, I think I'd protect Johnny Boychuk, and I also protect Nick Leddy and Travis
Hamonic.
Yeah. So they're top three. So Pulock was the odd man out there. He's a pretty good D-man. And then, like Jake said, I took Trevor Van Riemsdyk because I feel like he's probably going to be better. One of the guys Chicago's actually losing is Ville Poka because of their odd man out. He's a pretty good defenseman that hasn't made a jump yet, but he's pretty good offensively. My all-Leaf team.
Okay. Yeah,
so I decided after I was done my my expansion draft to put together every player that used to be a
Leaf. I decided. You see how he doesn't give me credit for my idea?
We.
Jeez.
Oh, salty fingers over I'm just, here.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
I sense a bit of salt from the other side
Should
of the table there.
Not be sitting
yeah,
here.
The NACL.
Yeah, you might want to move back. I'm going to get the daggers as I'm reading this. All right, so forwards, I had Matt Stajan, Richard Ponick, Lee Stemniak, Joel Colborn, Jimmy Hayes, who was a Leafs draft pick, so I'm going to count that, from the Bruins. Michael Grabner. I took Kirby Reichel. I already had him checked off for the Leafs. Sam Carrick, Victor Stahlberg, P.A. Parenteau. I have Zach Stortini on here for some reason. Daniel Winnick and Byron Fraze are my forwards.
Oh my god. Would they score 50 goals?
I don't know, man. What's
collectively
the goal
or each?
Collectively.
Oh my god.
They might even. What was Colorado's?
I don't know, man.
They might be better than Colorado still.
Actually,
I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
Colorado's pick I had was Joe Colborn.
I think they give Colorado a run for
the
money.
What's the defense?
The defense is Carl Gunnarsson, Luke Shen, Scott Harrington, Victor Love, Cody Franzen, Matt Finn and Tim Erickson.
Yes.
Okay. That's literally worse.
And I only have one goalie, and it's James Reimer.
Oh, my God. That's all you need. Hey. The Leafs Nation just got way more optimistic. Like, that team's pretty good.
Yeah.
You gotta say James Reimer last.
Backstop
did that
the
team
cup.
Get over 30 points? I don't think so. I don't think they would.
I'd love to see them head-to-head against this year's Avalanche.
You got to write
yeah.
that.
The Avalanche would sweep them, and it would be 10-0 every game.
I think I've
McKinnon's
got an idea
like
for tomorrow.
Points. Yeah, put that together.
All right,
that would,
cool.
That would
yeah,
be awesome.
Actually.
That would actually be awesome to read. People would love that.
Do you want me to, I'll compile like their predicted stats for next season and then put them with the Colorado Avalanche, and we'll just go with it.
You could do that after if you want, because that would
I'll do it now.
That's going to be painful.
That'd be free time.
Yeah. Wow. Omar?
Carl Soderberg had 14 points last season.
Yeah, I'll just run through my picks just because a lot of the same ones as things that Jake and Austin already mentioned. So Edmonton, Benoit Pouliot. Thought that'd be funny. I took Nemestikov from Tampa, Adam Lowry from Winnipeg, Scott Wilson from Pittsburgh. One thing I think will be good for Vegas is that they actually have a good selection of goaltenders. So I would go to the Rangers for Antti Raanta.
Yeah,
if Nate Schmidt, if you can get Nate Schmidt, then take him. But if not, then probably Grubauer from there. Is Grubauer on that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then maybe Calvin Picard from Colorado. And then was there one thing? Oh yeah, and then Neil Yakupov was my captain.
That was mine too.
Neil Yakupov was also my captain.
Yeah. Hey. He's everyone's captain. He's
rejuvenated in Vegas, man. That was the one guy for me that I was just like,
imagine. Exactly.
Just one night of hitting the slots, and he's a new
so
man.
Funny.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things that I actually think might come out of this is if I was Las Vegas, outside of obviously you're trying to load up on defensemen and young, controllable forwards, I wouldn't be shocked if they took like 7 goalies. And just completely cornered the market on getting a backup goalie. Because there are not many available in free agency. And you could probably get a good backup goalie, get a third-round pick out of it. Say you look at New Jersey's roster or Buffalo's roster and it's like, I don't want any of those guys. So maybe I can take a goalie from a different team and I can get a third round pick and accounts for my selection for that. Because if I'm this team, I'm trying to load up on picks. I'm trying to get 30 if it's possible.
Oh,
I think they could actually maybe break the record for most picks. I'd have to look up what it is, but I think they can break that record.
I think they will. I would. I would just go out, call anybody who's got an onerous contract, LA. Hey, that pick you got in the first round, we'll take that. Or Adrian Kempe, if you want to give us Dustin Brown. Mm. I mean, make it worthwhile for both sides. And the more picks, the better this team's going to be down the road. And obviously, they're going to be pretty awful next year. So probably pencil them in for the top odds in the draft next year.
Do they get more than 48 points?
Well, we'll get that.
I don't think
so. We're going to come back and do all that.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, who stood up for you on your expansion draft team?
Oh, well, a lot of the guys were named off. I think Anaheim, when you look at the guys up front, you wonder who they're going to protect. I mean, a guy like Andrew Cogliano could get exposed. I don't know, depending on how they sort that out. I looked at, again, Grubauer is, I think, my top choice for a goalie, especially with what he did at the World Championship. He was really good for Germany. I had Neil Yakupov as my captain, obviously. I mean, how could you go wrong with Neil Yakupov? And then, I mean, Nemestikov was another guy I had. And then I also have Kelly Yarncroc. So I like – there's not a lot. There's nothing really to go off. And those are, like, the best of the worst of the list. So those are the guys that I had. And I'm obviously missing out here on something because – everybody in the room is, like, losing their shit or something.
I'm being applauded for my great Toronto Maple Leafs roster.
Yeah, it's actually hilarious. Yeah. It's impressive that you got all those names, too.
what I was showing Chris earlier, and I think I just posted it for you guys, the Leafs roster I put together would have a projected cap space of $35.7 million to work with.
Kovalchuk makes $10 million for 5 years.
Silly.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We'll take your slightly used Shea Weber.
Yo, here's a hypothetical. What would it take for you to take that contract?
Weber's?
It might take me 2 first-round picks.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. I had a great hot take today that I saw on Twitter. It was
You had a great hot take or you saw a great hot take?
No, sorry. Rephrase. I saw a great hot take. I would
so
not
the worst take of the day is?
Yes. somebody proposed that. A good trade would be the Leafs getting Oliver Ekman-Larsson for one of Marner or Nylander and a 2018 and 2019 first.
What?
Right? Gold.
So on my expansion team.
Exactly. Just like,
that's, yeah.
Hot take Thursday coming soon.
Jesus Christ, that's bad.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What? They want Matthews too?
Yeah. Well, this was, I don't know. Twitter's fun. That's all I have to say.
Whatever. I think he's a fantastic player. But I'd be like, you're fucking a loser team, and he's never signing his extension with you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
That's shocking. I had a lot of the same names you guys had. Obviously, there's some standout guys like Yakupov. Nichushkin was the guy I thought as well, just because, you know, is he worth taking a lottery on? Like, just, you know, you might as well take a flyer on him.
You're gonna
like,
be,
what's the worst that can happen?
You're going to be crap in the first year. So you might as, if he comes back to North America after his deal's done.
I'm on the same boat with Jake when it comes to they're going to accumulate a shit ton of picks. Like like we saw with Columbus, Doug McLean always hints at this on Hockey Central. He goes, you know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. So I could definitely see Vegas just accumulating an unbelievable amount of draft picks. And I don't think it'll be for this year's draft. I think it'll be for next year's draft.
Yeah. Next year is what I want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because this year's draft is just – it's
especially first-round picks. Look at who's at the top. There are three – well, there's one generational player – in next year's draft, and there's going to be two more really, really, really good ones. It's infinitely better than this year's draft.
Yeah, so I literally see Vegas doing that. I mean,
it's just funny how they're very lucky with the way they came in. They're coming in at a time right before a really good draft, so that's fortunate for them. I mean, look at teams like Nashville. Nashville's first pick was David Legwand.
Let's go. Oh, yeah.
And?
Yeah. Yet they're still a fantastic team. Right? Imagine if they got like a Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. I mean,
man. I mean, the thing for me too with Vegas is they did come at an opportune time in a sense where a lot of teams were not prepared for the salary cap. They were, but they handed out so many bad contracts that when the hard cap came in, it's kind of like, oh, fuck. Hey, you want to take this guy off our hands? You know, what does it take? So Vegas can be able to like, take advantage of mistakes. Yeah.
I'll never forget the 2-year buyout window. Where you could just buy out a guy, it doesn't even count towards your cap.
Yeah, that was crazy.
No, and then the Leafs decided to buy out
Grabowski.
Grabowski and Komisarek, one guy that should not have been bought out using one of those buyouts.
Who, Grabowski?
No, I'm talking about Komisarek. Komisarek had 1 year left, and they decided to buy him out instead of buying out. I'm trying to remember.
I thought it was Tim Connolly or him.
No, it was. No, it should have been. It should have been John Michael Lyles.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to talk about Mike Komisarek. I did see a Komisarek jersey the last Marlies game I went to, though.
Felt bad for that guy. He's drunk.
So, I think. I think. Yeah.
Just invest in a Jerky Lume jersey.
Man, they gotta have something better, like even Value Village. You can probably pick up like Podkorowski or something.
A Luke Shen jersey.
Go get a Michael Renberg jersey. I'm sure that wouldn't cost.
That'd be awesome. That'd be hilarious.
Like,
let's talk about our favorite Leaf players from the mid-2000s.
Right.
Zygmunt. No, not Zygmunt. No, Bates Battaglia.
Regardless about these stupid teams, I mean, I think it's. I like the expansion roles. I think Vegas. They paid $500 million.
I was
waiting
for you to
say deserve,
that. Yeah,
they deserve to have some good players.
Well, they deserve to have a good situation at least.
How many teams do you think are even worth $500 million? I think like 10 to 15 max.
I was gonna say a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm all on board with them getting that, and hopefully they can get a ton of picks and sooner than later, because they're going to need to get moving to build that fan base, which I think will actually do pretty well.
How silly.
But I am extremely excited for this expansion draft. I think its added wrinkle with the salary cap potentially not rising as much as people thought is going to make this pretty epic in terms of player movement. I think there's going to be some shocking moves like we had last year with, like, when we had Taylor Hall and PK Subban get traded.
I think we're going to see at least one of those big blockbuster trades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not an obvious guy.
No.
No.
Before we get out of here, guys, something that made headlines on social media today was none other than Austin McGaugh, Austin Matthews, getting his new tattoo. The gigantic lion on his right shoulder.
Give me your thoughts on that.
It's basically a message to lease management. You know, lions are the king of the jungle. He has a crown. So basically, give me the C.
Oh, you went there.
Incognito.
He's connected those dots.
Yeah.
I've heard people say it's for the Zurich Lions. And I was just like, I don't know about that.
That is so stupid.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was crying reading this.
You don't know how precious that time was he spent with Fabrice Herzog.
Man.
I keep forgetting he was on the team.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't worry. I'm going to try to attempt to get Jake back. But we'll see how this works. No, I mean, I wonder what Lou Lamoriello thought about that tattoo.
I don't think he minds.
Look,
I mean,
as an Italian person, We don't especially like. I mean, hold on. Depending on the type of Italian you are, I'm leaving out the New York Italians right now, because they don't care about what they do to their body. Some hardcore Italians are not big fans of tattoos, and considering that this team is not allowed to grow facial hair, I don't know what tattoos would have.
You think Lou would bust out the wooden spoon?
Could you imagine? Cheese grater. He's going to get that shit off himself. Man.
If he really wanted to rattle Lou, he would have gotten two tattoos. He would have gotten one that was just a beard. Oh. And the other one would have been the number 99 tattooed on his back.
Well,
and 13, he would have just gone shirtless 13, during like every right every time in the locker room.
Some of the things I heard from people, or read, sorry, on like Twitter and other comment sections was, you know, I thought Austin Matthews was smarter than that. What's that going to look like when he's 50? You know, I thought this kid had some brains. I just laugh at all these, it's like, all these old get-off-my-lawn comments.
Because we're old Matthews' dad. We can only, like,
I don't like tattoos, but whatever.
Austin Matthews is going to have, like, millions of dollars. I don't think he'll give a crap when anybody thinks what he looks like when he's in his 50s.
I wonder how it'll be so hard for him to get a job.
Yeah. I guarantee
he's got $100 million in the bank.
Yeah, he's,
that's why they make suits.
Oh man, he's gonna be making what, 6-7 mil a season in the next two or three years.
I'm
at least
6-7. That's cheap.
Do you know who his 10? Agent is?
Yeah,
it's not
in the
12.
Yeah. Austin Owens, you're fired.
I'm saying at least.
he's getting 9 or 10.
Well, it's been,
he's
been a good month, boys.
Yeah.
It's been real. I'm out of here.
All right, guys. On that note, this podcast has gone on for quite a while, so we'll probably split this up into two episodes.
Hey, there he
but
is.
Yeah, we decided to try bring
back
Jake's
for the end.
Back.
Hey, buddy.
It got really. Apparently, Jake's bad weather in New Jersey really affected his call tonight.
That actually might be it.
Was it someone behind him?
Jake's just making sure no one's behind him.
The Holy Ghost knocked out the power.
All right, guys. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. Feel free to leave us a review, anything of that nature. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal Kranitz. You can follow Omar on Twitter at OLW93. You can follow Austin on Twitter at _AustinOwens. You can follow Dave on Twitter at D_Morisuti. And you can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeMiddleton12. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back next week. Or actually, we'll be back later this week to talk about the NHL draft, preview that. And then the following week, we have something pretty good up our sleeve. So stay tuned for that. Until then, take care, guys.
William Nylander.
The Knights, Mitch Marner.